practicing oncology, you know, it's important to have a mastery of your field and what's known currently so that you can treat patients to the best ability that they possibly can be treated. But we know that our current knowledge of how to treat cancer patients has wild shortcomings. So to participate in the care of cancer patients without also trying to push the field forward doesn't make sense to me. Just practicing the standard of care doesn't meet the demands of our patients. And the only way to improve cancer care is through research.
From the Medical University of South Carolina, it's Science Never Sleeps, a show that explores the science, the people, innovation, and stories behind the scenes of MUSC biomedical research at work. I'm Bobby Connor. On today's show, we'll learn about a cancer immunotherapy clinical trial involving non-small cell lung cancer patients.
You love your patients, and unfortunately, you treat a lot of patients who are desperately ill. It is an unfortunate source of motivation to work harder and think smarter and do more to try and improve the field so that you can hopefully push back the veil on the darkness of cancer.
That's Dr. John Rangel. He's an assistant professor of oncology and an oncologist specializing in lung cancer at MUSC. Dr. Rangel is the principal investigator of several ongoing clinical trials related to cancer immunotherapy. I asked Dr. Rangel to give us a brief overview of the cancer immunotherapy clinical trial that he's been working on for the last several years with participating patients who have non-small cell lung cancer.
Dr. Rubenstein, PhD researcher here at MUSC, and I have a laboratory together, and we study how do we make immunotherapy for lung cancer better. We are now entering the era where we need to be thinking about precision immunology. Who do we give what combinations to is the focus of our laboratory at this point. We developed a clinical trial that combined a PD-1 inhibitor with a cytokine therapy.
PD-1 inhibitor and cytokine therapy that you just mentioned are two different types of immunotherapy drugs?
Correct.
And what's important about this cancer immunotherapy study?
One of the most important things is that we've identified a new class of immunotherapy that has activity in lung cancer. And what that means is there's a new type of drug out there that patients with lung cancer can respond to. And the exciting thing that we found was, A, it's safe to do. I didn't sleep the night before I treated my first patient. So it was extremely gratifying to find out that this class of drugs can safely be administered in the outpatient setting. B, we found that patients who had responded to PD-1 inhibitors, but their disease had grown again, we could get back into a response. And to my knowledge, that was the first time anybody on the planet had observed the addition of a second immunotherapy in lung cancer, getting a patient back into a response.
And what exactly do you mean when you say getting back into response?
A response is when you get the cancer to shrink.
How many people have participated in this clinical trial?
Approximately 50. We published the experience of the first 21 patients in Lancet Oncology and have continued to accrue patients to these trials. It's a mixture of types of patients and prior experience, and the observation is ongoing, so it's a little preliminary to talk about rates of response, but I can say that individuals who've responded to immunotherapy before, but unfortunately their cancers have grown, we've gotten a fair number of patients like that back into a response to immunotherapy, as well as some really exciting stuff like folks who've responded to chemoimmunotherapy prior to their tumor growing again and seeing responses there. And those are pretty unique and extraordinarily compelling observations.
And what's happening now as a result of the initial findings from this research?
The initial study is now closed to make room for two follow-on studies designed by the company that manufactures one of the drugs. It's a randomized trial because that's the hurdle that you have to cross in order to get approval for a drug, is to compare a combination to single agent alone. But it's promising enough to warrant that large of an effort in the first line.
And what exactly is a first line therapy?
A first line therapy just means it's the first therapy that you get.
And this next phase of the clinical trial is also focused on non-small cell lung cancer?
The first line trial is focused exclusively on non-small cell lung cancer. The second line trial is what we call an umbrella trial. And so folks who have responded to PD-1 therapies, whether that's renal cell carcinoma or melanoma or bladder cancer or lung cancer, we have the ability to add cytokine therapy to their treatments to see if we can get them back into a response as well.
Dr. Rangel, what are some of the biggest challenges, not just with your clinical research, but with cancer immunotherapy?
The immune system is an incredibly powerful force in our own bodies. You know, we've all had dozens of tumors in our lifetimes, and our immune system has been on the job to clear them. Our immune system is responsible for so much, protecting us from the bacteria that we rely on in our gut, protecting us from the bacteria that lives on our skin, protecting us from viruses, and protecting us from the cancers that our bodies develop. And it has such a broad and powerful function. So we administer immunotherapy with the purpose of encouraging the immune system to attack cancer. The immune system may also get its wires crossed a little bit and attack normal tissues in our body, and that's where we see side effects arise from immunotherapy.
Can you share some of the encouraging results from this trial?
Absolutely. We've had a couple of patients who've had unique responses, and by unique, I mean potentially the first time described in the world. One of our patients early on in the trial is somebody who had responded to single-agent PD-1 therapy. And unfortunately, her disease began to grow, and she was enrolled in the clinical trial, and we added cytokine therapy to ongoing PD-1 therapy and got her back into a response. That was the first patient that I'm aware of with lung cancer who had had that kind of an experience. Subsequently, another extremely unique patient is somebody who had responded to what has now become the standard of care in first-line lung cancer for many patients, which is to combine chemotherapy with immunotherapy. This is a patient who had a brief response to chemoimmunotherapy before her tumor started to grow again. She was enrolled in the clinical trial. The chemotherapy was discontinued, and we added a cytokine therapy to PD-1 therapy, and she has had a better response than she ever had with chemoimmunotherapy, and that has lasted about a year and a half at this point, far longer than her initial response to chemoimmunotherapy.
And does everyone respond in a similar way to this new class of drug that you're talking about?
Unfortunately, no, but we think that more patients will respond to the combination than patients would respond to if they had one drug alone.
Is part of the next round of research for cancer immunotherapy trying to figure out why some patients respond and some do not?
It's critical that we have a better understanding of who's going to benefit from these therapies. More complicated, more expensive, more potentially toxic therapies can't be administered wholesale without some effort to understand who is going to benefit from them. It's our responsibility as clinicians and scientists and caring providers that we administer these therapies judiciously. So it's a focus of our laboratory to understand exactly who is going to respond to these therapies so we give the right therapy to the right person.
And where do you think we're headed next for research and further developments for cancer immunotherapy?
One is increasingly complicated combinations of immunotherapy, and two is a better understanding of which individuals will respond to which combinations.
And might this take a long time?
Unfortunately, it can take a long time. And the more we support good research, the faster it happens.
What are some of the biggest obstacles or the biggest considerations for moving cancer immunotherapy forward?
I'd say that there's two great challenges for improving this field. One is access to resources to support the research, and two is having enough patients to treat and to put on these trials.
Dr. Rangel, why did you decide to specialize in oncology and lung cancer in particular?
I always knew I wanted to be a researcher and an oncologist. Even before I had the life experiences that made cancer extremely personal to me, it was always something that I wanted to do, was to study cancer. My first summer job, my first paying summer job when I was 15, was making bacterial plasmids in a laboratory at MD Anderson in Houston, where I grew up. And every summer in high school and college, I would go back to continue to help where I could.
What are some of the biggest challenges for you being an oncologist who specializes in lung cancer?
There's a couple of different ways to answer that. One is just the pure logistics of being a researcher. Where do you get enough resources and time to accomplish your objectives? And the other is just the challenge of being an oncologist. You love your patients, and unfortunately, you treat a lot of patients who are desperately ill. It's staggering, the opportunity and the risks and the reward of doing this, because you want your therapies and your research to benefit everybody who comes to your clinic.
Dr. John Rengel is an assistant professor of oncology, and he's an oncologist specializing in lung cancer at MUSC. Dr. Rengel is the principal investigator for several ongoing clinical trials investigating cancer immunotherapy as a treatment for patients with non-small cell lung cancer and other types of cancer. I'm Bobby Connor with Science Never Sleeps from the Medical University of South Carolina.